بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on to a new chapter that also deals with transactions, and this chapter is the chapter of الرهن. And the word الرهن can be translated into mortgage, and it also can be translated into a sort of a pledge. And what is الرهن? When people borrow from each other, sometimes they want guarantees so that they would authenticate this loan with something that can be as a backup in case the person who borrowed is unable to pay back. So this thing, which is usually more or equivalent in value to the loan, is kept with the one who is lending so that once the time is due, I can get my money back, or if he refuses or declines or is unable, I can sell this and get my money worth and give him the balance in return. So it is sort of a backup, a guarantee, a pledge in versus or in exchange for a loan. And there are a number of hadiths covering this. The first hadith is the hadith of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. Who will read that for us?
Narrated Aisha radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam purchased food grains from a Jew on credit and mortgaged his iron armor to him.
So this hadith is an indication on a number of issues. Among them is it's permissible to deal with non-Muslims. Nowadays you get people say, oh, it's haram to buy and sell from non-Muslims. Why? Because they're the enemies of Islam. They do this, they do that. Akhi, the Prophet bought Islam from who? He bought something from a Jew, but he didn't have the money. He bought barley from a Jew and he could not pay him because he did not have money. So he told him, I'll pay you later, while giving him his shield, his armor, as a pledge that if I don't pay on time, you can sell this and take your money out of it. So we can learn that it is permissible to deal with non-Muslims. Not only that, it is permissible to sell and buy to non-Muslims who deal in haram. Allah described them in the Quran, the Jews, that they deal in riba, in usury. Not only that, they consume the money of the people in unlawful means. Yet this did not prevent the Prophet ﷺ from buying and selling. So you learn the rules of Islam, the halal and the haram, through the Quran and the Sunnah, and also through the practice of the Prophet ﷺ. Other than that, we have what is known as al-bara'atul asliya. You remember yesterday we spoke about this? What is al-bara'atul asliya? That everything is halal unless proven otherwise. So one does not say, what's the ruling on using a cover of the color brown? Oh, this is haram. It has to be black or white. Why? Because the color mentioned in the Quran. There's no brown mentioned. So you can use only this. This is not correct, because the original permissibility of everything is mentioned to you is halal, unless proven otherwise. And this rule, if you abide by it, khalas, you feel comfortable. You have everything made easy for you. Someone tells me, what's the ruling on wearing this on your head? The Prophet did not wear it, alayhi salam. Yes, but the Prophet did not forbid it as well. So you take the original permissibility out of that and you cascade this to all types of dealing with Muslims, non-Muslims, etc., unless proven otherwise. Now, the chapter deals with giving something in return for a debt. Now, does this fall under riba or not? The scholars say, no, it doesn't, because riba has to be money versus money, or something extra versus a loan. So if I take a car, I tell you, lend me your car for a week. And you say, okay, but you have to return it as two cars. Now, this is not permissible because this is something you're borrowing. It's different if you're leasing. If I tell you, rent me your car, then I will rent you my car, and I tell you I will charge this much a day. This is leasing. I'm talking about borrowing. Borrowing is different. Now, pledging or mortgaging something is to guarantee your rights. So this is completely permissible. It is found in the Quran, in the Sunnah, in the consensus of scholars, and it shows us that to authenticate or to guarantee your debt, you are allowed to give something or ask for something. If the one who's giving the money, ask for something as a guarantee. Now the question is, can I use this thing? For example, I give you 1,000 euros and I ask you to keep your car with me. Can I use the car and go and come and until you pay me back? Scholars say no, this is not permissible. Why? Because this is considered to be interest. The 1,000 euro I gave you, I'm charging interest, and that is using your car. So if I give you my building as mortgage or as a pledge, and I take from you 100,000, can you live in that building, or can you rent it, or can you do things to it? The scholars say, no, this is not permissible because this is benefit. This is interest over the loan. When is it permissible? They say, if it is something that needs care. In this case, because of the care I'm giving to it, I can utilize it. Give an example. They say there are things that do not need maintenance, such as a building, a car that is parked in your garage until you bring me my money back. This does not need any maintenance. So am I putting such money in it? No. So this I'm not entitled to use. But if, for example, I give you 1,000 euros and you give me a cow, and you say, keep the cow as pledge that I will return my money, and the man leaves, if I leave the cow without maintenance, without feeding, without watering, it will die. Then we have a problem. In this case, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that if the mortgage or the pledge is an animal, then because you are feeding that animal, you are permitted to ride it. And if it's an animal that is milked, because you're feeding, you're the one who's putting the grass and you're giving the hay or whatever it eats to the animal, then you may milk it in return or as an exchange. So this is the ruling of mortgage. Now, scholars say, what about if I have something as mortgage in my possession? A lot of the Muslims nowadays think that if I borrow from you 1,000 euros and I give you my wife's necklace, which costs 2,000 euros, and deadline is 1 month. If I do not return the 1,000 euros, he goes and sells it. He takes the 2,000 euros and puts it in his pocket. Khalas, he did not return it. Is this halal? It's not halal. For two reasons. One, you may not sell something that is not yours unless it's approved by me, the owner. So let's assume that I gave you the approval. If I don't pay on time, you have the right to do what? To sell it, but you cannot take except what is yours. And the balance, you have to return it back to me. You're entitled only for the money you had lent me. But you're not entitled to take any single penny extra because this would fall under the category of riba. And what about if I lend you money and you keep your cow or your camel or your sheep with me and it dies? What's the ruling on that? If it dies naturally, and scholars say there are two things. Either you have transgressed or you have been careless. If you were not any of the two, then you have no responsibility. I have the sheep in my house, and a burglar broke into my house at night and took the sheep and left. Do I bear any responsibility? No. because I'm doing you a favor, and this is not part of my own doing. However, if you keep your car with me as pledge and mortgage, and every day in the garage I turn it on and I start to drive and go to the seaside and I had an accident, who guarantees it? Who takes responsibility? I do, because I transgressed. It is not my right to use it, and I've used it without your permission, so I have to pay for it. Being careless is when I have a car which is given to me as mortgages or pledge, and I keep the windows down, and I keep the key in the car, and the doors open, and it is on the street for everyone to come. In the morning I come, and the car is not there. It was stolen. Who is responsible? I'm responsible. Why? Because I was careless. So when he comes and brings me my money, I have to pay him what is equivalent to his car or return his car because I was entrusted with it. Among the things that go on with mortgage, can I sell the mortgage without his permission? No. Can he sell his own property without my permission? Meaning, I gave him 5,000 euros, he kept his car with me. Can he go and sell the car while it's in my garage? Why? Because the Muslims are held accountable in accordance to the conditions. I gave you the money on the condition that you keep your car as mortgage in my possession so that until you pay off the money. You cannot sell it, I cannot sell it until the debt is being settled. We have a short break. Stay tuned and inshallah, we'll be right back.